May we come to order, please? This is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Carson City Airport Authority for Wednesday, April 20th, 2011, at 6 p.m. being held in the Sierra Room at the Carson City Community Center. May we have a determination of a quorum, please?
Chairperson Norville?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Kelly?
Here.
Member Carter?
Here.
Member DiLoreto Long?
Here.
Member McClellan? Member Salem?
Present.
A quorum is present.
Thank you very much. Will you all please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Approval of the minutes of past meetings of the Airport Authority. I believe we have one set of minutes to approve, correct? And
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the minutes of the March 23rd, 2011 meeting, please.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any comments on the motion or the minutes from the members? Seeing none, call for the question. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Those opposed, if there be any? Seeing none, the motion carries unanimously. Unanimously, the minutes are approved. Thank you. Modification of the agenda. The chairman reserves the right to modify the agenda in order to most effectively process the agenda items. We will stick to the agenda as published tonight. Public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the Airport Authority may speak on agendized and non-agendized matters related to the airport. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person or topic. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chairman to calendar the matter for a future Airport Authority meeting. Now, that 3 minutes is a guide. You know, we would love to hear from anybody who has something to address the Airport Authority with, and if there is a member of the audience that would like to do so, we would invite you to come forward at this time. Please state your name for the record, if you would, and then is there a sign-in list on the podium?
No. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, thank you. Morris White, for the record. On April 28th, Senator Ben Kiekeffer will be addressing a general meeting of the Carson City Republican Central Committee. On behalf of that committee, I would like to invite yourself, the committee, and your administrative staff to attend that meeting so that you can discuss with Senator Kiekeffer any concerns or requests that you might have.
Where is that being held at?
That would be at the Carson Plaza Hotel in the Sierra Room at 7 p.m.
That's on the 28th?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other members of the public who would like to address the Airport Authority?
Good evening. My name is Felix Rodriguez. I represent Bristow Academy. Bristow Academy is a company owned by Bristow Group, a rather large corporation. We're right now the largest helicopter school in the country, and we operate four campuses. Our largest campus in Tarras, Florida, just a stone throw away from the Space Center. We have been looking for a while for a place to conduct mountain training for our students. We have three programs in the school, a full FAA program, a JAA program. We're the only school in the country that can provide European ratings, and we have a military training program. This military training program has been in existence in 2005. We have graduated over 500 allied students. All these students have to, are approved by the Department of State or Department of Defense. At the present time, we propose to establish a formal mountain training course for our customers. And we have selected Carson City as the perfect place to do this. And we would really like to be able to operate out of the Carson City Airport. We are proposing to bring three of our helicopters to the Carson City Airport, three of our full-time instructors. And at the present time, we have a contract for 36 students that we will be training in groups of six. This contract will take about 6 months, and we are really hoping that we will be able to continue and that this will become a permanent program for the school. This entire operation is an investment for Bristow Academy of about $1.5 million. Of that, most of it, over half of it, will remain in the community. Services that we would be requiring from the airport, apartments, salaries, and everybody else that would be living in the community, and of course the taxes that are paid to the state of Nevada and the city. We have submitted our full packet of application. Unfortunately, I didn't quite make it on time to meet the rules to be included in this meeting. But I do thank you for the opportunity to address the board, and subject to any questions. Thank you very much, sir.
Questions from members of the authority for Mr. Rodriguez?
I don't have any questions. I think this sounds like a great opportunity for us. So.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Well, I would just like to say that I'm very excited about this opportunity for Carson City. We're grateful that you looked our way and have found our facilities acceptable to your needs. We do, in fact, have your packet. We have reviewed that, and we will be voting on your request for FBO status on this coming Friday at 6 p.m. in the terminal building at the Carson City Airport. And so this will be an action item, you know, for that particular meeting here in a couple of days. So we appreciate you coming all the way out. We're very excited about this opportunity, and hope to make this an easy process for you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Any other members of the public who would like to address the Airport Authority at this time? Seeing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. There are no items under consent tonight. Item number G, then, public hearings. Discussion and possible action to establish a committee to master plan the leasable parcels on the airport. Before I turn this over to Mr. Rowe, this is a process that we have engaged in from time to time, particularly with the master planning process that began back around 2000 or maybe just slightly before that. And Tim, I will turn it over to you to discuss exactly what we want to accomplish in that process.
What we'd like to do is avoid some of the problems that we've had in the past couple of years regarding hangar space designated commercial storage only. And also we'd like to organize hangar space on the airport in such a way that it's not hit or miss. It's not you have a big 100 by 100 foot lot with a T-hanger on it. We don't want that. We want to designate areas for corporate use through the fence. Just kind of organize it and come up with something similar to a CC&R, where hangars are basically the same color. That's not mandatory. It's just a suggestion. But basically find a way that what we can do with the southwest side or southeast side of the new runway that's opened up a lot of leasable space. also the leasable space that opened up on the southwest side past the porta ports. And, of course, we have to determine what we're going to do with the center triangle. Also, the area off of Bravo Taxiway. So I'd like to suggest a committee be appointed to work with me so we can discuss how we can organize this. Bring it to the board at a later date and for the board approval.
Okay, thanks, Tim. any members of the of the authority that would like to comment on this before I add my two cents?
I'll volunteer.
Please.
I'll volunteer to be on the committee.
Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate that. And I actually had some names in mind, and yours was one of them. I'd like to ask Teresa, if she would consent to chair that committee.
I consent, yes.
Thank you.
I think it's a very exciting opportunity to revisit the future of the airport, and given all the things that have gone on, I think that the plan that was done most recently is a good starting point, and so I welcome the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you lending your expertise to the process. Teresa's very experienced in leasing property and dealing with tenants, and we're looking forward to some good suggestions. And Mr. Carter, we'd like to ask you to serve on that committee as well.
I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you, man. Ray, we're going to leave you alone.
Thank you.
We know that you're busy. Ray, Chief Salo is our municipal member on the board, and we appreciate all that he does, but we won't prevail on him to participate in that. My idea would be that we would notice the meetings, and we would hold those meetings in the terminal building. Members of the public would be invited and, in fact, encouraged to participate so that we get as much input as possible. And I would envision the members of the committee taking that input, looking at our lease parcel map, the current and projected economic circumstances that the airport sees itself in or possibly in the future, and then beginning to design some alternatives that the airport authority can discuss in our open public meetings such as this one. And the idea would be to proceed to a point to where we adopt what we might call a master plan for the remaining leasable property on the airport that the airport manager would have in his office and would be available to discuss with anybody who might be interested. And I would just ask council if you think this is something we need to vote on, or can we just make this assignment?
I think it would be a good idea to vote on it. I just wanted to add one thing. The way you've laid it out sounds perfectly okay. There is a distinction between setting up a subcommittee that goes out and just collects data and brings data back versus a subcommittee that goes out, looks at the data, and comes back with a recommendation. In the latter category, the Attorney General's office has opined that that requires that those meetings meet the open meeting requirements. But if you're going to notice these to the public, invite the public, we just got to make sure we issue the notices, and then we're good to go, and that way the committee can bring back recommendations, which I really think is the more efficient way to do it.
And I do as well. You know, we would like to have recommendations on how to move forward, not just suggestions. And we do, in fact, as I pointed out, want to properly notice the meeting so we can have as many people involved as possible. And perchance, if an additional board member happened to show up, we would not be in violation of the open meeting law.
That's correct. Now, minutes of those meetings also needs to be taken under the open meeting law.
Well, we will work that out.
Just kind of organize it and come up with something similar to a CCNR, where hangars are basically the same color. That's not mandatory. It's just a suggestion. But basically find a way that what we can do with the southwest side or southeast side of the new runway that's opened up a lot of leasable space, also the leasable space that opened up on the southwest side past the porta ports. And, of course, we have to determine what we're going to do with the center triangle. Also, the area off of Bravo Taxiway. So I'd like to suggest a committee be appointed to work with me so we can discuss how we can organize this. Bring it to the board at a later date and for the board approval.
Okay, thanks, Tim. any members of the of the authority that would like to comment on this before I add my two cents?
I'll volunteer.
Please.
I'll volunteer to be on the committee.
Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate that. And I actually had some names in mind, and yours was one of them. I'd like to ask Teresa, if she would consent to chair that committee.
I consent, yes.
Thank you.
I think it's a very exciting opportunity to revisit the future of the airport, and given all the things that have gone on, I think that the plan that was done most recently is a good starting point, and so I welcome the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you lending your expertise to the process. Teresa's very experienced in leasing property and dealing with tenants, and we're looking forward to some good suggestions. And Mr. Carter, we'd like to ask you to serve on that committee as well.
I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you. And Ray, we're going to leave you alone.
Thank you.
We know that you're busy. Ray, Chief Salo is our municipal member on the board, and we appreciate all that he does, but we won't prevail on him to participate in that. My idea would be that we would notice the meetings, and we would hold those meetings in the terminal building. Members of the public would be invited and, in fact, encouraged to participate so that we get as much input as possible. And I would envision the members of the committee taking that input, looking at our lease parcel map, the current and projected economic circumstances that the airport sees itself in or possibly in the future, and then beginning to design some alternatives that the airport authority can discuss in our open public meetings such as this one. And the idea would be to proceed to a point to where we adopt what we might call a master plan for the remaining leasable property on the airport that the airport manager would have in his office and would be available to discuss with anybody who might be interested. And I would just ask council if you think this is something we need to vote on, or can we just make this assignment?
I think it would be a good idea to vote on it. I just wanted to add one thing. The way you've laid it out sounds perfectly okay. There is a distinction between setting up a subcommittee that goes out and just collects data and brings data back versus a subcommittee that goes out, looks at the data, and comes back with a recommendation. In the latter category, the Attorney General's office has opined that that requires that those meetings meet the open meeting requirements. But if you're going to notice these to the public, invite the public, we just got to make sure we issue the notices, and then we're good to go, and that way the committee can bring back recommendations, which I really think is the more efficient way to do it.
And I do as well. You know, we would like to have a, you know, recommendations on how to move forward, not just suggestions. And we do, in fact, as I pointed out, want to properly notice the meeting so we can have as many people involved as possible. And perchance, if an additional board member happened to show up, we would not be in violation of the open meeting law.
That's correct. Now, minutes of those meetings also needs to be taken under
okay.
the open meeting law.
Well, we will work that out, Tim, you know, to make sure that we are in compliance. So with respect to that methodology, do the members of the board have any questions or comments? Mr. Clegg.
Would you like Steve or I to attend those meetings?
Well, we would certainly like you or Brian to be there.
Okay.
And, you know, Steve is a busy man. but your expertise was always appreciated. And so if it's, you know, possible for, you know, for you to join us, I think that would be good. I would defer to, you know, Teresa to work out those details with Tim so we have the necessary expertise and, you know, knowledge present to deal with any questions that might come up.
Yeah, I think to be the most efficient and to not duplicate what's already been done, I think that you have both have a vast knowledge of why you ended up where you did with the last study. And so I don't think we need to reinvent the wheel, but rather have you bring to the table as much information as possible so that then we can just move forward and not slow the momentum.
Any other discussion from board members on this agenda item? Seeing none, we would open that up to the public. If members of the public would like to comment on this agenda item, you may do so at this time.
Dirk Zatilla.
Hello, Dirk.
I think we've met.
Yeah.
I would like to know if this committee is only open to members of the board, because I would like to volunteer to be involved too. I've been involved in, as you know, a lot of things in the past, and you know my background, so I think I could give some input to this.
We encourage all types of involvement. Should this agenda item pass favorably, I think I would defer to Teresa as the chairman of that committee to address that issue.
Again, I think that any knowledge that we can gain from the people that operate and reside their businesses and or aircrafts on the airport are the opinions and feedback are invaluable. And I think that focus groups and the opportunity for everybody to throw that out is critical. So I appreciate your willingness to participate. And as far as, you know, having an additional outside member of the committee, I think as we on the board kind of get our boundaries and kind of see how we'd like to structure it and all that, I certainly would think we'd be in touch and get your participation.
Is that a yes or a no?
Well, I think your involvement is critical. I think anybody who's willing to participate that is on the airport is critical. I think as far as saying right now, today, this second, yes, you're come on as a committee member, I think that we need to have the opportunity to discuss how it's formulated.
Okay.
Does that help?
And I think what we would do, we would address that via the motion once we get to that point, and then we would ask any members of the public who might so desire, you know, to serve on that committee. Obviously, we don't want to have 30 people on the committee because it would become cumbersome. So what I would do is ask any members of the public who may be in attendance tonight or watching on television to contact the airport manager's office if they have a desire to serve. The airport manager will then interact with the chairman of the committee and you know, we'll decide how many people is the right number. But we do encourage members of the public to apply for a seat on that committee.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments on this agenda item from members of the public? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. Any additional comments from board members on this agenda item? Seeing none, we stand in need of a motion, and I might just recommend that the motion would contain wording to include members of the public.
I'll go ahead and make a motion then that the board move forward with forming a subcommittee to look into modifications to the existing master plan as regards to leasable parcels, and that subcommittee to also take into consideration and the possibility of bringing on outside members to join us.
Yeah. Motion has been made as an item, you know, to make sure that we are in compliance. So with respect to that methodology, do the members of the board have any questions or comments? Mr. Clegg.
Would you like Steve or I to attend those meetings?
Well, we would certainly like you or Brian to be there.
Okay.
And You know, Steve was a busy man, but your expertise was always appreciated. And so if it's, you know, possible for, you know, for you to join us, I think that would be good. I would defer to, you know, Teresa to work out those details with Tim so we have the necessary expertise and, you know, knowledge present to deal with any questions that might come up.
Yeah, I think to be the most efficient and to not duplicate what's already been done, I think that you have both have a vast knowledge of why you ended up where you did with the last study. And so I don't think we need to reinvent the wheel, but rather have you bring to the table as much information as possible so that then we can just move forward and not slow the momentum.
Any other discussion from board members on this agenda item? Seeing none, we would open that up to the public. If members of the public would like to comment on this agenda item, you may do so at this time.
Yeah. Dirk Zatilla.
Hello, Dirk.
I think we've met.
Yeah.
I would like to know if this committee is only open to members of the board, because I would like to volunteer to be involved, too. I've been involved in, as you know, a lot of things in the past, and you know my background, so I think I could give some input to this.
We encourage all types of involvement. Should this agenda item pass favorably, I think I would defer to Teresa as the chairman of that committee to address that issue.
Again, I think that any knowledge that we can gain from the people that operate and reside their businesses and or aircrafts on the airport are the opinions and feedback are invaluable. And I think that focus groups and the opportunity for everybody to throw that out is critical. So I appreciate your willingness to participate. And as far as, you know, having an additional outside member as a committee, I think as we on the board kind of get our boundaries and kind of see how we'd like to structure it and all that, I certainly would think we'd be in touch and get your participation.
Is that a yes or a no?
Well, I think your involvement is critical. I think anybody who is willing to participate that is on the airport is critical. I think as far as saying right now, today, this second, yes, you're come on as a committee member, I think that we need to have the opportunity to discuss how it's formulated.
Okay.
Does that help?
And I think what we would do, we would address that via the motion once we get to that point. And then we would ask any members of the public who might so desire, you know, to serve on that committee. Obviously, we don't want to have 30 people on the committee because it would become cumbersome. So what I would do is ask any members of the public who may be in attendance tonight or watching on television to contact the airport manager's office if they have a desire to serve. The airport manager will then interact with the chairman of the committee, and you know, we'll decide how many people is the right number. But we do encourage members of the public to apply for a seat on that committee.
Thank you.
Any other comments on this agenda item from members of the public? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. Any additional comments from board members on this agenda item? Seeing none, we stand in need of a motion, and I might just recommend that the motion would contain wording to include members of the public.
I'll go ahead and make a motion then that the board move forward with forming a subcommittee to look into modifications to the existing master plan as regards to leasable parcels, and that subcommittee to also take into consideration and the possibility of bringing on outside members to join us.
Yeah. Motion has been made and is on the table. Any further discussion?
I second it.
Motion has been made and seconded. Now, is there any discussion on the motion that is on the table? I might just make one point, and maybe it's just a housekeeping. And, Steve, I don't know if this would be a change to the current master plan. I was using that word in my mind separately from the master plan that had been accepted by the FAA. This would be maybe I used the wrong wording, but we want to attempt to master plan the remaining leasable property on the airport. So I don't know if that's a distinction without a difference or not.
I don't know that it matters. I think whatever the output of the committee is, if it involves changing a master plan that's already been adopted and filed with the FAA, then we should face that issue then and make that recommendation at that time. But I don't think you want to be too restrictive in this approach because we really don't know what's going to come out of it. You know, it could be that we're just going to end up coming up with a plan for here's how we deal with the unleased space, but it could involve maybe modifying some provisions of the existing master plan to be able to to be able to do some of those things.
Okay, if that were the case, then the motion would cover that.
I believe it does. Yes.
Okay, a motion has been made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, if there be any. Seeing none, the motion carries unanimously. Item number two: discussion and action to accept or reject bids received regarding the purchase of a tractor, including attachments required for general airport maintenance. Mr. Rowe and Mr. Province.
We received two bids, one from Smith Valley Garage, who is a dealer with Kubota. Their M108 SHDC Kubota tractor with all the attachments came to a bid price of $67,213, and I've got the bids packets with me. The other bid came from Carson City, the Renner Equipment Company, and their Deere 6115D tractor with all attachments required under the bid came to $71,600. So the depending on which one actually works best for us, because we have to research and study the tractors. The Kubota does come under bid, but I would like to suggest that we also look at an option of a used tractor. We can purchase, we've done a lot of research on the internet and talking to some people, of buying a used tractor with all the implements for less than $50,000. Something in the $50,000 mark, we don't need to go out for open bid. All we have to do is shop and find the right tractor for the right price, and hopefully we can find a late model used tractor with low time. And that's what I would like to suggest to the board.
Well, that would be an amount of $50,000 or less.
Yes, maximum of $50,000.
Okay. And that meets the requirement as far as we know for just purchasing it ourselves with board approval.
That's correct. We just have to get two prices. We have to get prices from two different entities for the under, but we can work through that. If Tim and Gary are able to find something under $50,000, we can meet the rest of the requirement.
Well, my feeling is that we need to be as thrifty and economical as we possibly can, given the AIP projects that we still have in front of us. And if there is any chance that we can find a piece of equipment that meets our needs for erosion abatement, moving materials on the airport, and other things, that we certainly ought to explore that option rather than spending $17,000 to $20,000 more. Board members, comments.
How long are the bids good for?
I would assume these bids are probably good for 60 days, at least.
Okay. Thank you.
My only question is, when we had decided to
And is on the table. Any further discussion?
Second.
Oh.
I second it.
Motion has been made and seconded. Now, is there any discussion on the motion that is on the table? I might just make one point, and maybe it's just a housekeeping. And, Steve, I don't know if this would be a change to the current master plan. I was using that word in my mind separately from the master plan that had been accepted by the FAA. This would be maybe I used the wrong wording, but we want to attempt to master plan the remaining leasable property on the airport. So I don't know if that's a distinction without a difference or not.
I don't know that it matters. I think whatever the output of the committee is, if it involves changing a master plan that's already been adopted and filed with the FAA, then we should face that issue then and make that recommendation at that time. But I don't think you want to be too restrictive in this approach because we really don't know what's going to come out of it. You know, it could be that we're just going to end up coming up with a plan for here's how we deal with the unleased space, but it could involve maybe modifying some provisions of the existing master plan to be able to to be able to do some of those things.
Okay, if that were the case, then the motion would cover that.
I believe it does, yes.
Okay, a motion has been made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, if there be any? Seeing none, the motion carries unanimously. Item number two, discussion and action to accept or reject bids received regarding the purchase of a tractor, including attachments required for general airport maintenance. Mr. Rowe and Mr. Province.
We received two bids, one from Smith Valley Garage, who is a dealer with Kubota. Their M108 SHDC Kubota tractor with all the attachments came to a bid price of $67,213, and I've got the bids packets with me. The other bid came from Carson City, the Renner Equipment Company, and their Deere 6115D tractor with all attachments required under the bid came to $71,600. So the depending on which one actually works best for us, because we have to research and study the tractors. The Kubota does come under bid, but I would like to suggest that we also look at an option of a used tractor. We can purchase, we've done a lot of research on the internet and talking to some people, of buying a used tractor with all the implements for less than $50,000. Something in the $50,000 mark, we don't need to go out for open bid. All we have to do is shop and find the right tractor for the right price, and hopefully we can find a late model used tractor with low time. And that's what I would like to suggest to the board.
Well, that would be an amount of $50,000 or less.
Yes, maximum of $50,000.
Okay. And that meets the requirement as far as we know for just purchasing it ourselves with board approval.
That's correct. We just have to get two prices. We have to get prices from two different entities for the under, but we can work through that. If Tim and Gary are able to find something under $50,000, we can meet the rest of the requirement.
Well, my feeling is that we need to be as thrifty and economical as we possibly can, given the AIP projects that we still have in front of us. And if there is any chance that we can find a piece of equipment that meets our needs for erosion abatement, moving materials on the airport, and other things, that we certainly ought to explore that option rather than spending $17,000 to $20,000 more. Board members, comments.
How long are the bids good for?
I would assume these bids are probably good for 60 days, at least.
Okay. Thank you.
My only question is, when we had decided to pursue new, some of the things that we were looking at were the warranty and the scheduled service that's included oftentimes with a new purchase. My only concern would be that purchasing used, that we don't end up with exorbitant servicing bills and or replacing parts or the tractor breaking and having issues.
Gary, could you address that briefly, or one, either one of you?
In conversations I've had with a number of very experienced people with purchasing used tractors, there's several things we can require. We can require oil analysis, tells us the condition of the tractor overall. And the other part of that is purchasing new attachments, not buying used attachments. The attachments really are the portion of a tractor attachment program that take the beating. They're the ones that deal in the dirt. They do the brunt work. So if we find a tractor that meets our needs and passes an oil analysis, the tractor is very likely going to be in very good condition.
One other thought, that some of these tractors are off lease. In other words, they've been leased for approximately 1 year and are still under warranty. So they will still have a warranty covering those tractors if those are the ones that we tend to choose.
You mentioned that you purchase new attachments. Is the $50,000 for just the tractor, and then in addition to that, we have to go out and buy the attachments that we need?
No, that's tractor and implements.
Okay, let me just be clear. The agenda item is to accept or reject bids. Now, if we do not accept, then you're asking the board to approve an amount up to and including $50,000 to purchase a pre-owned piece of equipment.
That's correct.
Okay, just wanted to be sure. Any other comments from board members? Seeing none, we'll open it up to the public. Any members of the public present who would like to comment on this agenda item may come forward and do so.
Once again, Dirk Zatilla. I agree with the idea of buying a used tractor for the same reasons that you all brought up, and I wanted to make that comment. And also, I wanted to bring up something I think may have slipped everybody's mind, but if you go back to the minutes of December 15th, item number 2, discussion and possible action regarding the purchase of a tractor, including attachments required for general airport maintenance. Member McClellan moved to approve sending out for a tractor and its attachments at the discretion of the airport manager as a lease purchase to own. Member DiLoretto Long suggested working with Member Carter for approval to ensure it fits within the budget. Member McClellan agreed to the suggestion as an amendment to the motion. Member Salo seconded the motion, which carried 5-0. You guys have already approved this purchase.
I think, you know, what may have happened in the intervening time is we dealt with this in at least one subsequent meeting, and I think that we wanted to be certain that, you know, we had a clear ruling from the board before we moved off of the bid process.
You did discuss it in more than one subsequent meeting, but there have been no subsequent decisions. So I just wanted to bring that out and something to think about, that you have already actually approved doing this.
Well, I appreciate you pointing that out, Dirk, and I, you know, we may be driving a thumbtack with a sledgehammer, but I guess it's, you know, we live in a world that requires an abundance of caution, so we just didn't want to get caught between the two requirements of, you know, and have it be unclear as to what we had actually authorized.
Steve. I had actually advised the airport manager to put the item back on because I think that earlier approval, particularly from the discussion leading up to that motion, and then the words of the motion indicated that it would be some kind of lease purchase. And then in the subsequent meetings, we talked about purchasing it instead of doing the lease purchase. So in an abundance of caution, I kind of pushed for this to be on the agenda. So.
Thank you. And I think
knew some of the things that we were looking at were the warranty and the scheduled service that's included oftentimes with a new purchase. my only concern would be that purchasing used, that we don't end up with exorbitant servicing bills and or replacing parts or the tractor breaking and having issues.
Gary, could you address that briefly, or either one of you?
In conversations I've had with a number of very experienced people with purchasing used tractors, there's several things we can require. We can require oil analysis, tells us the condition of the tractor overall. And the other part of that is purchasing new attachments, not buying used attachments. The attachments really are the portion of a tractor attachment program that take the beating. They're the ones that deal in the dirt. They do the brunt work. So if we find a tractor that meets our needs and passes an oil analysis, the tractor is very likely going to be in very good condition.
One other thought, that some of these tractors are off lease. In other words, they've been leased for approximately 1 year and are still under warranty. So they will still have a warranty covering those tractors if those are the ones that we tend to choose.
You mentioned that you purchase new attachments. Is the $50,000 for just the tractor, and then in addition to that, we have to go out and buy the attachments that we need?
No, that's tractor and implements.
Okay, let me just be clear. The agenda item is to accept or reject bids. Now, if we do not accept, then you're asking the board to approve an amount up to and including $50,000 to purchase a pre-owned piece of equipment.
That's correct.
Okay, just wanted to be sure. Any other comments from board members? Seeing none, we'll open it up to the public. Any members of the public present who would like to comment on this agenda item may come forward and do so.
Once again, Dirk Zatilla. I agree with the idea of buying a used tractor for the same reasons that you all brought up, and I wanted to make that comment. And also, I wanted to bring up something I think may have slipped everybody's mind, but if you go back to the minutes of December 15th, item number 2, discussion and possible action regarding the purchase of a tractor, including attachments required for general airport maintenance. Member McClellan moved to approve sending out for a tractor and its attachments at the discretion of the airport manager as a lease purchase to own. Member DiLoretto Long suggested working with Member Carter for approval to ensure it fits within the budget. Member McClellan agreed to the suggestion as an amendment to the motion. Member Sayla seconded the motion, which carried 5-0. You guys have already approved this purchase.
I think... You know, what may have happened in the intervening time is we dealt with this in at least one subsequent meeting, and I think that we wanted to be certain that, you know, we had a clear ruling from the board before we moved off of the bid process.
You did discuss it in more than one subsequent meeting, but there have been no subsequent decisions. So I just wanted to bring that out and something to think about, that you have already actually approved doing this.
Well, I appreciate you pointing that out, Dirk. And, we may be driving a thumbtack with a sledgehammer, but I guess it's, we live in a world that requires an abundance of caution. So we just didn't want to get caught between the two requirements of, and have it be unclear as to what we had actually authorized.
I had actually advised the airport manager to put the item back on because I think that earlier approval, particularly from the discussion leading up to that motion, and then the words of the motion indicated that it would be some kind of lease purchase. And then in the subsequent meetings, we talked about purchasing it instead of doing the lease purchase. So in an abundance of caution, I kind of pushed for this to be on the agenda. So.
Thank you. And I think Dirk's point is a valid point. We have undertaken this item several times, in an attempt to get it right. And I would just say and echo what council has just said, that this agenda item tonight is out of an overabundance of caution to make sure that we are clear in moving forward before we make such an expenditure. But we appreciate those comments. Any other members of the public who would like to comment on this agenda item? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. Any additional comments from board members?
I wanted to mention that anticipating that this process may drag on, we did add $50,000 for capital expense for a tractor to the tentative budget. So I think that, if anything, it emphasizes there's money to buy a tractor.
And the tentative budget is that budget which is now accessible to the public during this period prior to approval of the final budget, right?
I think that's
correct. We had to publish the tentative budget by a certain date.
April 15th, you have to submit a budget, and it's tentative in its nature, so there's nothing fixed about it. I think it's to motivate the preparation of it and create something for talking.
Good. And my point is that budget is available for review by any members of the public who would choose to do so and who may like to be present at our May 19th meeting, which is the statutorily required date that the budget be approved. So that was it's in the budget. It's there for all to review, and so we're trying to do it right. We're trying to be transparent and open about it, and that was my point.
That's correct. The it has to be approved on the third Thursday of May. The statute identifies different categories of budgets for public entities. We're not a school district. We're not a city or county. I think there was one other category, and then everybody else. We're in the everybody else category, which has to be the third Thursday in May. And we will be publishing our agenda for that meeting in concert with the requirements of statute.
Very good. Thank you. Any other discussion? Seeing none, then we would be in need of a motion, and I would just suggest that the motion contain up to an amount of $50,000, since that is the limit that we have to adhere to.
I'd like to make a motion that we authorize the airport manager to first go out and seek bids on used tractors and new implements to attach to it. See if we can purchase this for under $50,000. If this is not possible, then we'll authorize the airport manager to accept the most favorable bid that we have received for this meeting.
Motion has been made. It is on the table. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion has been made and seconded, and just a point of clarification for me. The motion contained the language "receive bids." So are we not authorizing the airport manager to purchase, or are we authorizing him to receive bids and come back to the airport authority?
I understood, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Kelly, I understood that if he's able to acquire it for under $50,000, he's authorized to proceed. The getting bids for that just means he has to get prices from at least two different individuals, which is what he needs to do anyway to comply with the statute for purchases under $50,000. Over $50,000 has to be this public bid process, which we've already gone through. Under $50,000, you just have to get prices from two vendors.
Maybe I want to amend it. I was looking to say what you're saying. If we can go out and find used equipment, new attachments, under $50,000, he should go ahead and do that. If that is not possible, then we're going, maybe it will authorize him to purchase a tractor through the two bids that we have received here, whichever is the best advantage to the airport.
Yeah, I appreciate that point of clarification. The reason I brought it up is that we are desperate. Point is a valid point. We have undertaken this item several times, in an attempt to get it right. And I would just say and echo what council has just said, that this agenda item tonight is out of an overabundance of caution to make sure that we are clear in moving forward before we make such an expenditure. But we appreciate those comments. Any other members of the public who would like to comment on this agenda item? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. Any additional comments from board members?
I wanted to mention that anticipating that this process may drag on, we did add $50,000 for capital expense for a tractor to the tentative budget. So I think that, if anything, it emphasizes there's money to buy a tractor.
And the tentative budget is that budget which is now accessible to the public during this period prior to approval of the final budget, right?
I think that's
correct. We had to publish the tentative budget by a certain date.
April 15th, you have to submit a budget, and it's tentative in its nature, so there's nothing fixed about it. I think it's to motivate the preparation of it and create something for talking.
Good. And my point is that budget is available for review by any members of the public who would choose to do so and who may like to be present at our May 19th meeting, which is the statutorily required date that the budget be approved. So that was it's in the budget. It's there for all to review, and so we're trying to do it right. We're trying to be transparent and open about it, and that was my point.
That's correct. The it has to be approved on the third Thursday of May. The statute identifies different categories of budgets for public entities. We're not a school district. We're not a city or county. I think there was one other category, and then everybody else. We're in the everybody else category, which has to be the third Thursday in May. And we will be publishing our agenda for that meeting in concert with the requirements of statute.
Very good. Thank you. Any other discussion? Seeing none, then we would be in need of a motion, and I would just suggest that the motion contain up to an amount of $50,000, since that is the limit that we have to adhere to.
I'd like to make a motion that we authorize the airport manager to first go out and seek bids on used tractors and new implements to attach to it. See if we can purchase this for under $50,000. If this is not possible, then we'll authorize the airport manager to accept the most favorable bid that we have received for this meeting.
Motion has been made. It is on the table. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion has been made and seconded, and just a point of clarification for me. The motion contained the language "receive bids." So are we not authorizing the airport manager to purchase, or are we authorizing him to receive bids and come back to the airport authority?
I understood, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Kelly, I understood that if he's able to acquire it for under $50,000, he's authorized to proceed. The getting bids for that just means he has to get prices from at least two different individuals, which is what he needs to do anyway to comply with the statute for purchases under $50,000. Over $50,000 has to be this public bid process, which we've already gone through. Under $50,000, you just have to get prices from two vendors.
Maybe I want to amend it. I was looking to say what you're saying. If we can go out and find used equipment, new attachments, under $50,000, he should go ahead and do that. If that is not possible, then we're going, maybe it will authorize him to purchase a tractor through the two bids that we have received here, whichever is the best advantage to the airport.
Yeah, I appreciate that point of clarification. The reason I brought it up is that we are desperate to get out there after that erosion that we have on the airport and everything, and so I didn't want to involve another meeting And as Dirk has so aptly pointed out, we beat it to death, and so I think it's time to move on. So thank you for that point of clarification. Any discussion, additional discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed, if there be any? None. The motion carries unanimously. Sorry, we're done. We had public comment.
Go ahead, board comment. The only concern I have is that you constrained them to new.
Did we not open it up to the public?
Yeah.
I thought we did. Yeah.
Okay. My concern is that you constrained them to
you
new.
Can't, you can't.
Later, that'd be good.
Yep. Okay, item number three, discussion of possible action related to the Carson City Airport Runway 9 Connector and Taxiway D projects, including monthly status reports, potential changes to the work or work schedule, construction change orders, and other related items. Mr. Clay.
This is an informational item on that project. Here's where we stand is we've been waiting for some minor punch list items to get completed. In the interim, we have processed a change order to install straw wattles along both sides of the ditches that were constructed during this project, and that is in process right now. Everyone signed it. It's sent off to the FAA for their approval. Once we receive that, then we'll instruct the contractor to proceed with that work as well as the punch list items and get the work completed. Assuming we can get a quick response from the FAA, Granite feels that they should be able to get all the work done by the end of the month, which is ideal because we anticipate that the FAA will be available the second week of May for a final inspection, and then we can just close out the project. So even including the change order, the status of the project budget is that we're still nearly $40,000 under the project budget. So we're really in good shape. There's no reason why the FAA shouldn't approve this erosion control change order that we've processed. So any questions on that one?
Okay, seeing none, this is a non-action item, but we're always willing to listen to members of the public who would like to address this particular agenda item for any reason. Seeing none, we'll move on to item number four. Discussion of, well, actually, it is an action item. Item number three was an action item, but we took no action.
No action.
Yeah.
No actions required on that item.
Okay. Yeah. Item number four, discussion of possible action related to the construction of Taxiway Delta West to award the construction contract and approve the contract with Atkins to provide construction management. Mr. Clegg.
Okay, we did hold a bid opening this morning, and unfortunately, we cannot make a recommendation right now because we have received a protest on the bids. I'll give you a rundown of what the bid results were, and I will email you the bid summary. I apologize that it didn't get sent out to you, but real briefly, we got three bidders, Contree Construction, Granite Construction, and A&K Earth Movers. In every instance, it appears that Contree Construction is the apparent low bidder. Granite Construction is the second low bidder, and A&K Earth Movers is the highest of the three. All bids were below the engineer's estimate, and what we did was we had the entire project put out to bid as the base bid, and then we had deductive alternatives so that we could bring this into a budget that the FAA would accept if necessary. The deductive alternative
out there after that, the erosion that we have on the airport and everything, and so I didn't want to involve another meeting. And as Dirk has so aptly pointed out, we beat it to death, and so I think it's time to move on. So thank you for that point of clarification. Any discussion, additional discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed, if there be any? None. The motion carries unanimously. Sorry, we're done. We had public comment.
Go ahead, board comment. The only concern I have is that you constrained them to new.
Did we not open it up to the public?
Yeah.
I thought we did. Yeah.
Okay. My concern is that you constrained them.
You can't.
Maybe not be good.
Yep. Okay, item number three, discussion of possible action related to the Carson City Airport Runway 9 Connector and Taxiway D projects, including monthly status reports, potential changes to the work or work schedule, construction change orders, and other related items. Mr. Clegg.
This is an informational item on that project. Here's where we stand is we've been waiting for some minor punch list items to get completed. In the interim, we have processed a change order to install straw wattles along both sides of the ditches that were constructed during this project, and that is in process right now. Everyone signed it. It's sent off to the FAA for their approval. Once we receive that, then we'll instruct the contractor to proceed with that work as well as the punch list items and get the work completed. Assuming we can get a quick response from the FAA, Granite feels that they should be able to get all the work done by the end of the month, which is ideal because we anticipate that the FAA will be available the second week of May for a final inspection, and then we can just close out the project. So, even including the change order, the status of the project budget is that we're still nearly $40,000 under the project budget. So we're really in good shape. There's no reason why the FAA shouldn't approve this erosion control change order that we've processed. So any questions on that one?
Okay, seeing none, this is a non-action item, but we're always willing to listen to members of the public who would like to address this particular agenda item for any reason. Seeing none, we'll move on to item number four. Discussion of, well, actually, it is an action item. Item number three was an action item, but we took no action.
No action.
Yeah.
No actions required on that item.
Okay. Yeah. Item number four, discussion and possible action related to the construction of Taxiway Delta West to award the construction contract and approve the contract with Atkins to provide construction management. Mr. Clegg.
Okay, we did hold a bid opening this morning, and unfortunately, we cannot make a recommendation right now because we have received a protest on the bids. I'll give you a rundown of what the bid results were, and I will email you the bid summary. I apologize that it didn't get sent out to you, but real briefly, we got three bidders: Contree Construction, Granite Construction, and A&K Earth Movers. In every instance, it appears that Contree Construction is the apparent low bidder. Granite Construction is the second low bidder, and A&K Earth Movers is the highest of the three. All bids were below the engineer's estimate, and what we did was we had the entire project put out to bid as the base bid, and then we had deductive alternatives so that we could bring this into a budget that the FAA would accept if necessary. The deductive alternative one was to remove the taxiway lights and the directional signs. Any lighted directional signs, we would still install lighted hold signs wherever necessary. The second deductive alternative would just remove the high-speed connector from the project in addition to the associated taxiway lights that went with the high-speed connector only. In other words, we would build taxiway Delta West in its entirety with all the lights and everything. The high-speed connector would go away. And then we had deductive alternative three, which includes both, because that is a possibility. So I'm going to give you the base bid only because it more or less falls in line with what I was hoping for. Contrary construction bid $1,263,777.70. Granite construction was $1,296,296. A&K Earth Movers is $1,330,000. And the engineer's estimate was $1,340,000. So all the bids were falling right in line with what we estimated. And then with the deductive alternatives, if we took all of them, contrary would be $955,648.70, and granite construction was $999,896, and A&K Earth Movers was $1,067,318. So we've got a good range. We should be able to find something that fits the FAA budget. But as I said, there was a slight discrepancy with Contry's bid. And it's an apparent discrepancy. It doesn't mean that there is. So we can't make a recommendation whether to award the contract or reject the bid or whatever. There is a bid protest period till next Wednesday by state law that we have to have a protest period. So we allotted that time, and in the meantime, we're going to evaluate any discrepancies with the bids. Go from there. We'll make a recommendation at a later time.
Jim, just refresh me briefly, if you would, on the base bid.
Yes.
Does that include full-up taxiway lighting and the high speed?
That's correct.
With or without the curve or the turn?
Well, there's still a curve in there. We're negotiating with a tenant on the airport to eliminate the curve, but in order to do that, we need to reconfigure one of the hangars out there. And so that's still on the table. It doesn't affect this bid. The idea was that we could still negotiate with this hangar tenant, or owner of the hangar, should I say, and award the contract based on the curved alignment and then do a change order at a later date if we're successful in the negotiations.
But the base bid does include electric lighting.
Everything.
And the high
everything
speed
okay. That right. was designed.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All we had was deductive alternatives. I anticipate that we're going to end up with a special meeting to award this contract. So, with that said, I would like to move forward with approval of the construction management contract with Atkins. That's our new name, by the way. So, anyway, real quickly, I'll explain that the contract is essentially the same as the last one for runway 9 connector and taxiway Delta East. It's just strictly based on, one, was to remove the taxiway lights and the directional signs, any lighted directional signs. We would still install lighted hold signs wherever necessary. The second deductive alternative would just remove the high-speed connector from the project in addition to the associated taxiway lights that went with the high-speed connector only. In other words, we would build taxiway Delta West in its entirety with all the lights and everything. The high-speed connector would go away. And then we had deductive alternative three, which includes both, because that is a possibility. So I'm going to give you the base bid only, because it more or less falls in line with what I was hoping for. Contrary construction bid $1,263,777.70. Granite construction was $1,296,296. A&K Earth Movers is $1,330,000. And the engineer's estimate was $1,340,000. So all the bids were falling right in line with what we estimated. And then with the deductive alternatives, if we took all of them, contrary would be $955,648.70. And granite construction was $999,896, and A&K Earth Movers was $1,067,318. So we've got a good range. We should be able to find something that fits the FAA budget. But as I said, there was a slight discrepancy with Contry's bid, and it's an apparent discrepancy. It doesn't mean that there is. So we can't make a recommendation whether to award the contract or reject the bid or whatever. There is a bid protest period till next Wednesday by state law that we have to have a protest period. So we allotted that time. And in the meantime, we're going to evaluate any discrepancies with the bids. And go from there. We'll make a recommendation at a later time.
Jim, just refresh me briefly, if you would, on the base bid.
Yes.
Does that include full-up taxiway lighting and the high speed?
That's correct.
With or without the curve or the turn?
Well, there's still a curve in there. We're negotiating with a tenant on the airport to eliminate the curve, but in order to do that, we need to reconfigure one of the hangars out there. And so that's still on the table. It doesn't affect this bid. The idea was that we could still negotiate with this hangar tenant, or owner of the hangar, should I say, and award the contract based on the curved alignment, and then do a change order at a later date if we're successful in the negotiations.
But the base bid does include electric lighting.
Everything.
And the high
everything
speed
okay. That right. was designed.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All we had was deductive alternatives. I anticipate that we're going to end up with a special meeting to award this contract. So, with that said, I would like to move forward with approval of the construction management contract with Atkins. That's our new name, by the way. So, anyway, real quickly, I'll explain that the contract is essentially the same as the last one for runway 9 connector and taxiway Delta East. It's just strictly based on the contract period for the construction. And it's just a standard procedure. We got a price to do materials testing, et cetera. One caveat that we added to this is that the airport's really changed since 2008. And so the last time we got any aerial mapping was prior to 2008. And since then, we've removed the hill. We've stockpiled material. We've realigned the runway, the taxiway. Everything's changed. So what we included in our contract was to get up-to-date aerial mapping at the end of this project, and as well as oblique photographs, so that we've got some good planning tools to use as the years go by.
Okay, but that would not in any way affect the survey that we've been trying for so long to get. That's completely different?
Totally different.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Shucks. Okay. Anything further, Jim?
I'll put some words into your mouths. So I propose that you approve the contract with Atkins to provide construction management for the duration of Taxiway Delta West construction and miscellaneous drainage improvements. Based on a time and expense basis, not to exceed a total fee of $200,000.
May we see a copy of that?
It's in the report. I put that with the engineer's report.
All right, let's find where that is.
It's the attachment behind the exhibit of the project.
I'm looking. Oh. And that wording that you just read, where is that?
He just read from the title of the document and then added not to exceed $200,000. I should add that I've also reviewed the contract. It fits the format that we've utilized in the past, with the exception that now it's using the new name of Atkins. It also ties back because it is styled as a task under the master contract that we have with, now with Atkins. I want to say PBS&J.
Okay.
And so I've reviewed it from a legal standpoint, I guess. That's what I'm trying to tell you, and it looks fine to me.
So we're looking at, on this particular page, item number one, description of work, not to exceed $200,000.
I think.
Well, the description of work just says provide construction management services for Taxiway Delta West and miscellaneous drainage improvements.
Oh, okay, I see.
And then there's fees and method of payment. And so that's all part of the task order.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure we had enough there to make a motion from.
Yeah.
Okay, so with respect to approval of a contract with Atkins to provide construction management, discussion from board members.
The aerial mapping that you were discussing, was that to be a part of this task number 10?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and my next question is, when did you intend to do that aerial mapping?
After the project's constructed.
Okay. It'll be the most up-to-date.
Exactly.
Most, okay.
Yeah, and we don't anticipate any real geometric changes to the airport after that, and that's why we thought that'd be the ideal time to do it.
Any other comments from board members? Seeing none, we'll open this agenda item up to the public with respect to approving the contract with Atkins to provide construction management. Any members of the public who would like to comment on this agenda item may do so. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. Any additional discussion by board members? Seeing none, we are then in need of a motion.
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we approve the contract with Atkins North America Incorporated, reference task number.
the contract period for the construction, and it's just a standard procedure. We've got a price to do materials testing, et cetera. One caveat that we added to this is that the airport's really changed since 2008, and so the last time we got any aerial mapping was prior to 2008, and since then we've removed the hill, we've stockpiled material, we've realigned the runway, the taxiway, everything's changed. So what we included in our contract was to get up-to-date aerial mapping at the end of this project, and as well as oblique photographs, so that we've got some good planning tools to use as the years go by.
Okay, but that would not in any way affect the survey that we've been trying for so long to get. That's completely different?
Totally different.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Shucks. Okay. Anything further, Jim?
I'll put some words into your mouths. So I propose that you approve the contract with Atkins to provide construction management for the duration of Taxiway Delta West construction and miscellaneous drainage improvements. Based on a time and expense basis, not to exceed a total fee of $200,000.
Copy of that?
It's in the report. I put that with the engineer's report.
All right, let's find where that is.
It's the attachment behind the exhibit of the project.
I'm looking. Oh. And that wording that you just read, where is that?
He just read from the title of the document and then added not to exceed $200,000. I should add that I've also reviewed the contract. It fits the format that we've utilized in the past, with the exception that now it's using the new name of Atkins. It also ties back because it is styled as a task under the master contract that we have with, now with Atkins. I want to say PBS&J.
Okay.
So I've reviewed it from a legal standpoint, I guess. That's what I'm trying to tell you, and it looks fine to me.
So we're looking at, on this particular page, item number one, description of work, not to exceed $200,000.
I think.
Well, the description of work just says provide construction management services for Taxiway Delta West and miscellaneous drainage improvements.
Okay, I see.
And then there's fees and method of payment. And so that's all part of the task order.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure we had enough there to make a motion from.
Yeah.
Okay, so with respect to approval of a contract with Atkins to provide construction management, discussion from board members.
The aerial mapping that you were discussing, was that to be a part of this task number 10?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and my next question is, when did you intend to do that aerial mapping?
After the project's constructed.
Okay.
It'll
be the most up-to-date?
Exactly.
Most, okay.
And we don't anticipate any real geometric changes to the airport after that, and that's why we thought that'd be the ideal time to do it.
Any other comments from board members? Seeing none, we'll open this agenda item up to the public with respect to approving the contract with Atkins to provide construction management. Any members of the public who would like to comment on this agenda item may do so. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. Any additional discussion by board members? Seeing none, we are then in need of a motion.
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we approve the contract with Atkins North America Incorporated reference task number 10 to provide construction management services for the taxiway Delta West and miscellaneous drainage improvements not to exceed $200,000.
Motion has been made and on the table. Are we in need of a second?
I'll second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Additional discussion by board members? Seeing none, call for the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, if there be any? None. The motion carries unanimously. Item number 8, Airport Engineers Report.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the previous. The engineers report, the status of the environmental assessment is that we hopefully made all the review comments that the FAA wanted, and we sent those off to them March 25th and haven't heard back. But we anticipate approval. If there are any comments, they should be pretty minor. Under general engineering, as you know, the repair of the fence along College Parkway still has not been completed, and I gave an explanation. I'll read it out loud so that the public can enjoy what I wrote. Since last month, work on the fence has been delayed multiple times due to weather, but also from lack of effort. And we've repeatedly contacted the contractor, and they have directed their fence subcontractor numerous times to get the work done. But the problem we've got is that this is a warranty item. And consequently, because it's a warranty item, the fence subcontractor is not getting paid to do this work. So he has no incentive to get it accomplished. That's what the problem really is. So that's why there hasn't been any response. I have been told, or I received an email from Granite Construction indicating that they were supposed to get all of their material today and that they would be installing the remainder of the fence this week. And we repeatedly have sent emails every day that the fence contractor does not show up. We send an email off to Granite Construction to remind them that they haven't made it, that we need to get it done. So we've done what we can. We don't carry firearms, so we can't do much else. So that's the status of that. And then on a lighter note, the annual Nevada Airports Association conference is going to be held at the Atlantis Casino May 11th through 13th. And we anticipate that our FAA representatives will be there. And we plan to have a meeting with them to talk about Taxiway Delta West, confirm funding of that project, and also discuss any future projects. So once we have a firm time and date, I don't know if anyone wants to attend that with us, but I think that you would be welcome to do that. Anyway, that's all I have. If you have any questions.
Okay. Go ahead, Tim.
I sent an email earlier today, and this is the second one that I sent, regarding if they can't get this fence fixed, that we hire another local fence company and send Granite the bill, or the contractor the bill. And why is there a reason why I can't do that?
No, there's no reason why you can't do that. It's just that I don't think that Granite is obligated to pay the bill.
Okay. Well, what can we do to obligate them to pay to get this thing fixed?
Maybe Steve can answer that.
I have to look at the contract again to see what our remedies are, but certainly there should be some additional remedy that we have in the contract.
Yeah.
I just haven't looked yet.
And provide construction management services for the taxiway Delta West and miscellaneous drainage improvements not to exceed $200,000.
Motion has been made and on the table. Are we in need of a second?
I'll second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Additional discussion by board members? Seeing none, call for the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, if there be any? None. The motion carries unanimously. Item number 8, Airport Engineers Report.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the previous. The engineers report, the status of the environmental assessment is that we hopefully made all the review comments that the FAA wanted, and we sent those off to them March 25th and haven't heard back. But we anticipate approval. If there are any comments, they should be pretty minor. Under general engineering, as you know, the repair of the fence along College Parkway still has not been completed, and I gave an explanation. I'll read it out loud so that the public can enjoy what I wrote. Since last month, work on the fence has been delayed multiple times due to weather, but also from lack of effort. And we've repeatedly contacted the contractor, and they have directed their fence subcontractor numerous times to get the work done. But the problem we've got is that this is a warranty item. And consequently, because it's a warranty item, the fence subcontractor is not getting paid to do this work. So he has no incentive to get it accomplished. That's what the problem really is. So that's why there hasn't been any response. I have been told, or I received an email from Granite Construction indicating that they were supposed to get all of their material today and that they would be installing the remainder of the fence this week. And we repeatedly have sent emails every day that the fence contractor does not show up. We send an email off to Granite Construction to remind them that they haven't made it, that we need to get it done. So we've done what we can. We don't carry firearms, so we can't do much else. So that's the status of that. And then on a lighter note, the annual Nevada Airports Association conference is going to be held at the Atlantis Casino May 11th through 13th. And we anticipate that our FAA representatives will be there. And we plan to have a meeting with them to talk about Taxiway Delta West, confirm funding of that project, and also discuss any future projects. So once we have a firm time and date, I don't know if anyone wants to attend that with us, but I think that you would be welcome to do that. Anyway, that's all I have. If you have any questions.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tim.
I sent an email earlier today, and this is the second one that I sent, regarding if they can't get this fence fixed, that we hire another local fence company and send Granite the bill, or the contractor the bill. And why is there a reason why I can't do that?
No, there's no reason why you can't do that. It's just that I don't think that Granite is obligated to pay the bill.
Okay. Well, what can we do to obligate them to pay to get this thing fixed?
Maybe Steve can answer that.
I have to look at the contract again to see what our remedies are, but certainly there should be some additional remedy that we have in the contract.
Yeah.
I just haven't looked yet.
Yeah, I appreciate any help getting that done, because this is taking way too long.
Yeah, I agree. We've been in constant discussion on it, and we just want to assure the public that we are dealing with this thing the best we can. It's just difficult.
Thank you, Jim. Airport manager's report.
Okay. The other defense was the biggie. I had that on my list to talk about. The other issue we've had that's been ongoing is the rotating beacon being out of service. We are contacting AT&T on a daily basis. They keep extending the repair date. It was last Friday. It was Monday. Now it's tomorrow. Who knows what it'll be after tomorrow. What they told us was that the photocell on the beacon itself is in op. They said they've got a part on order. But we have personally never seen anyone on that tower looking at that light. So all we can do is go along with what they're doing right now. I've asked Airport Council to get involved, and we're waiting on some resolution with that. Gary, you had some other information about that, didn't you?
Some of the things that I talked to AT&T about this is they make notams to the FAA on this thing very regularly also. And I've told them that this seems like this is pushing the problem down the road by just extending the delay, the repair date. And they kind of agree with me, you know, the people I get to talk to. I don't get to talk to the tower crews. And so this is, it's a difficult animal to nail down in one place. It's like talking to a seven-headed hydra in some ways. So the thing is AT&T recognizes that they're responsible for taking care of it. And some of them say, yes, we want to do it. And some of them say, we're waiting on parts. So that's kind of where it sits with them. And I think we need some help in moving them along in some other fashion than phone calls. Phone calls aren't getting us anywhere with them.
Maybe I should just jump in on this, because I did have a call with AT&T just before we got to the meeting, and I should have grabbed you right at the beginning of the meeting, let you know. But I followed up. The guy that we've been dealing with is out this week. The guy who's standing in for him told me that originally they thought it was a bulb, and that's why they told us that that's what they were going to repair. They ordered the bulb. They got the bulb. They put the bulb in, discovered that didn't fix it. So now I think you've correctly described, they think it's a photocell circuit board. They ordered the circuit board. It was supposed to be here last Friday. Apparently didn't come in. Today they were trying to track it down, I think in large part because Tim and I have both been contacting them saying what's going on. And he assured me that they would be calling us tomorrow morning once they figure out where that board is. Now, I guess the question then is the board going to fix it? Hopefully it will, but AT&T should not be issuing NOTAMs unless we've authorized them to do that.
When this first occurred, when we first found out about it, I called the NOTAM service and NOTAMed it out of service until further notice. So,
because that authorization to give NOTAMs is, they need official authorization from us before they'll let anybody post a NOTAM.
All right, thank
Steve,
you.
Steve, just a question. Would AT&T be in violation of their contract?
I'd actually not like to get into that right now because it's not very clear. But I think that from this standpoint, AT&T has told us that they are taking this on as their responsibility, so we're trying to hold them to that. more precise legal analysis is probably not appropriate.
Appreciate any help getting that done, because this is taking way too long.
Yeah, I agree. We've been in constant discussion on it, and we just want to assure the public that we are dealing with this thing the best we can. It's just difficult.
Thank you, Jim. Airport manager's report.
Okay. The other defense was the biggie. I had that on my list to talk about. The other issue we've had that's been ongoing is rotating beacon being out of service. We are contacting AT&T on a daily basis. They keep extending the repair date. It was last Friday. It was Monday. Now it's tomorrow. Who knows what it'll be after tomorrow. What they told us was that the photocell on the beacon itself is in op. They said they've got a part on order. But we have personally never seen anyone on that tower looking at that light. So all we can do is go along with what they're doing right now. I've asked Airport Council to get involved, and we're waiting on some resolution with that. Gary, you had some other information about that, didn't you?
Some of the things that I've talked to AT&T about this is they make notams to the FAA on this thing very regularly also. And I've told them that this seems like this is pushing the problem down the road by just extending the delay, the repair date. And they kind of agree with me, you know, the people that I get to talk to. I don't get to talk to the tower crews. So this it's a difficult animal to nail down in one place. It's like talking to a seven-headed hydra in some ways. So the thing is AT&T recognizes that they're responsible for taking care of it, and some of them say, yes, we want to do it, and some of them say, we're waiting on parts. So that's kind of where it sits with them, and I think we need some help in moving them along in some other fashion than phone calls. Phone calls aren't getting us anywhere with them.
Maybe I should just jump in on this, because I did have a call with AT&T just before we got to the meeting, and I should have grabbed you right at the beginning of the meeting and let you know. But I followed up. The guy that we've been dealing with is out this week. The guy who's standing in for him told me that originally they thought it was a bulb, and that's why they told us that that's what they were going to repair. They ordered the bulb. They got the bulb. They put the bulb in, discovered that didn't fix it. So now I think you've correctly described, they think it's a photocell circuit board. They ordered the circuit board. It was supposed to be here last Friday. Apparently didn't come in. Today they were trying to track it down, I think in large part because Tim and I have both been contacting them saying what's going on. And he assured me that they would be calling us tomorrow morning once they figure out where that board is. Now, I guess the question then is the board going to fix it? Hopefully it will, but AT&T should not be issuing NOTAMs unless we've authorized them to do that.
When this first occurred, when we first found out about it, I called the NOTAM service and NOTAMed it out of service until further notice. So,
because that authorization to give NOTAMs is, they need official authorization from us before they'll let anybody post a NOTAM.
All right, thank
Steve,
you.
Steve, just a question. Would AT&T be in violation of their contract?
I'd actually not like to get into that right now because it's not very clear. But I think that from this standpoint, AT&T has told us that they are taking this on as their responsibility, so we're trying to hold them to that. a more precise legal analysis is probably not appropriate right now for a variety of reasons.
Please.
I want to comment on this because it just happens that about 2 years ago, I replaced that photo cell that you're talking about. The photo cell, what its job is when the sun comes up in the morning, to shut the thing off. It doesn't have anything to do with when it comes on. And if my recollection is correct, there is no circuit board. It's just a simple mechanical time clock.
What causes it to turn on at night?
It's a combination, the photo cell and the time clock. But the time clock will turn it on. And, oh, by the way, it was working last week. I've been away for about 4 days. I just got back in town today. But as of, I mean, I see it every night from my house. And it's been working for several days. So I'm not sure what's going on here. But I wanted to let you know that. And that photo cell, you can get it at Home Depot. It's like a couple dollars. So that's why this is a big deal. I don't know.
That's helpful. We'll look into that. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, Tim?
Just one item. On the lighter side, a company called EnduraBlend came out this week, and they have a polymer blend. It's like a concrete mix with a polymer base, and it's something like a slurry seal over concrete, and they're experimenting with it, and they wanted to show us how good it was. Well, they spread out a nice area on Sterling's tie-down ramp and forgot to put the polymer in it. That's best guess. So you grind your foot into it, it turns to powder, so it's a worthless acquisition right now, so it's something we don't really want to consider. But they are going to come clean it up Friday, lay it down again, hopefully with the correct blend, and we'll see how it works at that point. So,
okay. There are just two other things I wanted to ask you about. And one, we want to let the public know that about our A-Rink radio, it does and how it's working.
Working good. Lasts a long time. Its frequency is 135.075. And what you do is when you come up on that frequency, you click the mic four times, but not real fast. Just click it, click, 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 click. It dials through the NorCal approach. You can pick up your clearances. And you'll hear the dial tone in your headset or through your speakers. So we've had some issues with the phone line, with the phone card in the AirRink radio itself or the remote access radio. Everything's working great now.
So you can get an air traffic control clearance on the ground using your aircraft radio. And that's what we have been after for some time, yeah. And that's now working.
Also, there are no dead areas on the airport.
What's the frequency again?
135.075. Yeah.
And we're going to post signs in both run-up areas.
All four.
We've
got four signs.
Four signs. So everybody, you know, will be able to see that frequency, and hopefully our users will become accustomed to that. You know, when you click four times, you'll hear the buzz in the headset, Tim was telling me, like a ring, ring, ring. The controller at NorCal Approach in Sacramento will answer the phone NorCal Approach, and they are air traffic control. It's not like talking to a flight service station who gets the clearance from ATC and passes it along to you with a void time.
Actually, NorCal answers their telephone with NorCal Flight Service.
But they are air traffic control.
They are. It is NorCal Approach and Departure, but they answer their telephone, NorCal Flight Service.
I think what you'll hear would be like November 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, cleared as filed, rather than ATC clears November 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, as filed. And so, I mean, you know, it's a small distinction, but it is an opportunity to talk directly to ATC through your headset and aircraft radio. And we've been after this capability for some time. And I think we finally got it working properly, but we would appreciate feedback from the user community, you know, to make sure that in fact, is the case. And the last thing would be just a quick update on the open house, Jim.
Open house, we had...
for a variety of reasons.
Please.
I want to comment on this because it just happens that about 2 years ago, I replaced that photo cell that you're talking about. The photo cell, what its job is when the sun comes up in the morning, to shut the thing off. It doesn't have anything to do with when it comes on. And if my recollection is correct, there is no circuit board. It's just a simple mechanical time clock.
What causes it to turn on at night?
It's a combination, the photo cell and the time clock. But the time clock will turn it on. And, oh, by the way, it was working last week. I've been away for about 4 days. I just got back in town today, but I see it every night from my house, and it's been working for several days, so I'm not sure what's going on here. But I wanted to let you know that, and that photo cell, you can get it at Home Depot. It's like a couple dollars. So that's why this is a big deal. I don't know.
That's helpful. We'll look into that. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, Tim?
Just one item. On the lighter side, a company called EnduraBlend came out this week, and they have a polymer blend. It's like a concrete mix with a polymer base, and it's something like a slurry seal over concrete, and they're experimenting with it, and they wanted to show us how good it was. Well, they spread out a nice area on Sterling's tie-down ramp and forgot to put the polymer in it. That's best guess. So you grind your foot into it, it turns to powder. So it's a worthless acquisition right now. So it's something we don't really want to consider. But they are going to come clean it up Friday, lay it down again, hopefully with the correct blend, and we'll see how it works at that point. So.
Just two other things I wanted to ask you about. And one, we want to let the public know that about our A-Rink radio, it does and how it's working.
Working good. Lasts a long time. Its frequency is 135.075. And what you do is when you come up on that frequency, you click the mic four times, but not real fast. Just click it, click, 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 click. It dials through the NorCal approach. You can pick up your clearances. And you'll hear the dial tone in your headset or through your speakers. So we've had some issues with the phone line, with the phone card in the AirRink radio itself or the remote access radio. Everything's working great now.
So you can get an air traffic control clearance on the ground using your aircraft radio. And that's what we have been after for some time. Yeah. And that's now working.
Also, there are no dead areas on the airport.
What's the frequency again? 135.075.
075, yeah.
And we're going to post signs in both run-up areas.
All four.
We've
got four signs.
Four signs. So everybody, will be able to see that frequency, and hopefully our users will become accustomed to that. When you click four times, you'll hear the buzz in the headset. Tim was telling me, like a ring, the controller at NorCal approach in Sacramento will answer the phone NorCal approach, and they are air traffic control. It's not like talking to a flight service station who gets the clearance from ATC and passes it along to you with a void time.
Actually, NorCal answers their telephone with NorCal Flight Service.
But they are air traffic control.
They are. It is NorCal approach and departure, but they answer their telephone, NorCal Flight Service.
I think what you'll hear would be like November 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, cleared as filed, rather than ATC clears November 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, as filed. And so, it's a small distinction, but it is an opportunity to talk directly to ATC through your headset and aircraft radio, and we've been after this capability for some time, and I think we finally got it working properly, but we would appreciate feedback from the user community. you know, to make sure that that, in fact, is the case. And the last thing would be just a quick update on the open house, Jim.
Open house, we had, we're still online for June 18th. We had a good meeting today with board member Teresa De Loretta Long and also our webmaster. And we're lining up some advertisement and brochures for the open house. And everything is online for the military. We've got a CH-47 that they are said they were bringing by. They offered a C-130, however, the ramp just won't support the C-130. Also, we are talking with Fallon about a flyby of F-18s, and they are bringing over one of their new Lakotas.
Well, if that doesn't generate phone calls, nothing will.
Yeah. Well, the Guard is even saying if they have one available, they may give us a flyby of a C-130. They just can't bring it onto the ramp.
Thanks for that update. Legal counsel's report.
Yeah, I've got a couple of items, but first I just wanted to either make a suggestion. If the signs have not already been created, we may want to give thought. Have they already been created? Okay. I was just going to suggest we give some thought to putting the common traffic frequency on there and the AWOS frequency on a sign, just so that we don't get unfamiliar pilots seeing only that frequency and thinking that somehow that's a common traffic frequency. But it wouldn't happen to any of us, but, you know, crazier things have happened. But anyway, that aside, a couple of things on legal counsel's report. AB 103 got passed by the legislature, signed by the governor. It's now effective law. We've issued, the city's issued an announcement of a vacant position on our airport authority for a manufacturer. If you know a manufacturer or if you're in TV land, and you are a manufacturer within in Carson City within a 3-mile distance of our airport, and you can calculate that at any edge of our airport. You know, we can be generous that way. Please contact the city about filling out an application and becoming a member of the airport authority. It's a lot of fun, as all the airport authority members can attest, and you get to be on TV. It could be the beginning of your TV career.
Manufacturer, you know, and I've always wondered how we define that. We've had such a small manufacturing community out here that has been included, but for example, would a builder be included in that, the manufacturer?
No, that is a category that's defined in the by both the city ordinance and by state law. But they gotta be manufacturing something. They could be manufacturing wood products. There is a company on Fairview that does manufacture some kind of wood products. I can't remember what it is they manufacture there. So, I mean, the fact that they're operating in wood versus steel or something else.
And to produce that a product at their location.
Right. Correct. But, and if anybody has a doubt who's interested, just get a hold of me and we'll run it through and see if we can make it work. Okay, that aside, I mentioned to you earlier, state law requires that we have a meeting to approve the final budget. It needs to be the third Thursday in May, which this year is May 19th. And so since it doesn't make sense to have a regular meeting on the day before, you have two nights in a row to have meetings, my recommendation would be that we schedule a regular meeting for May 19th, which is the day that we have to meet anyway to approve the final budget. Of course, this room is not available, so we would need to do it at the terminal building. And in the interim period, Jim and I will be looking carefully over the contract process, and if we feel that it's appropriate, we will come back to you and ask for a special meeting to award the contract on the construction program on the rest of Taxiway Delta and the miscellaneous drainage issues. One other note is officer elections. I just bring it up now. The law that created the Airport Authority requires that the terms of the officers expire on July 1 of odd-numbered years. This is an odd-numbered year, so the current officer terms expire July 1. My recommendation is during our June meeting, which is two meetings away, we put an item on our agenda for election of officers. There's no restriction on officers being reelected to their positions. There's, I mean, it's whatever you guys want to do is going to be fine.
Tim, could you make a note to that effect for the an agenda item for the June meeting? Make sure.
We're still online for June 18th. We had a good meeting today with board member Teresa De Loretta Long and also our webmaster, and we're lining up some advertisement and brochures for the open house, and everything is online for the military. We've got a CH-47 that they were bringing by. They offered a C-130, however, the ramp just won't support the C-130. Also, we are talking with Fallon about a flyby of F-18s, and they are bringing over one of their new Lakotas.
Well, if that doesn't generate phone calls, nothing will.
Yeah. Well, the Guard is even saying if they have one available, they may give us a flyby of a C-130. They just can't bring it onto the ramp. So.
Okay, thanks for that update. Legal counsel's report.
Yeah, I've got a couple of items, but first I just wanted to either make a suggestion. If the signs have not already been created, we may want to give thought. Have they already been created? Okay. I was just going to suggest we give some thought to putting the common traffic frequency on there and the AWOS frequency on a sign, just so that we don't get unfamiliar pilots seeing only that frequency and thinking that somehow that's a common traffic frequency. It wouldn't happen to any of us, but, you know, crazier things have happened. But anyway, that aside, a couple of things on legal counsel's report. AB 103 got passed by the legislature, signed by the governor. It's now effective law. The city has issued an announcement of a vacant position on our airport authority for a manufacturer. If you know a manufacturer or if you're in TV land and you are a manufacturer within in Carson City within a three-mile distance of our airport, and you can calculate that at any edge of our airport. You know, we can be generous that way. Contact the city about filling out an application and becoming a member of the airport authority. It's a lot of fun, as all the airport authority members can attest, and you get to be on TV. It could be the beginning of your TV career.
Manufacturer, you know, and I've always wondered how we define that. We've had such a small manufacturing community out here that has been included. But, for example, would a builder be included in that, the manufacturer?
No, that is a category that's defined in the by both the city ordinance and by state law. But they gotta be manufacturing something. They could be manufacturing wood products. There is a company on Fairview that does manufacture some kind of wood products. I can't remember what it is they manufacture there. So, I mean, the fact that they're operating in wood versus steel or something else.
And to produce a product at their location.
Right. Correct. But, and if anybody has a doubt who's interested, just get a hold of me and we'll run it through and see if we can make it work. Okay, that aside, I mentioned to you earlier, state law requires that we have a meeting to approve the final budget. Needs to be the third Thursday in May, which this year is May 19th. And so since it doesn't make sense to have a regular meeting on the day before, you have two nights in a row to have meetings, my recommendation would be that we schedule a regular meeting for May 19th, which is the day that we have to meet anyway to approve the final budget. Of course, this room is not available, so we would need to do it at the terminal building. And in the interim period, Jim and I will be looking carefully over the contract process, and if we feel that it's appropriate, we will come back to you and ask for a special meeting to award the contract on the construction program on the rest of Taxiway Delta and the miscellaneous drainage issues. One other note is officer elections. I just bring it up now. The law that created the Airport Authority requires that the terms of the officers expire on July 1 of odd-numbered years. This is an odd-numbered year, so the current officer terms expire July 1. My recommendation is during our June meeting, which is two meetings away, we put an item on our agenda for election of officers. There's no restriction on officers being reelected to their positions, there's, I mean, it's whatever you guys want to do is going
to
be fine.
Tim, could you make a note to that effect for the agenda item for the June meeting? Make sure we don't forget that.
Yes, I will. And then Jim mentioned the Nevada Aviation Association meeting. I strongly recommend that if you have the time and you can show up, it's a good thing. I know Harlow's appeared and come to it in the past, and other members have as well.
Great breakfast.
Yeah, and the food's good, and it's a great opportunity to sit down and meet with the folks from the FAA. Robin Hunt will be there, who is the manager of the Burlingame Airport's office, and Abel Tapia will be there, who is our assigned airport planner. I don't know if our assigned environmental folks or the other people will be there, but usually they're around because this is an easy conference for them to get to.
The most important thing for me is I got to hear airport officials from all over the place talk about their airports, their challenges, yeah, what's working well, what's not working well, and that gave me sort of a reference point, you know, for our airport. That was really helpful to me.
Yeah. Originally, this organization, the Nevada Airport Aviation Association, was called the Nevada Airport Managers Association. And before it even had that name, there were a bunch of airport managers that would get together and simply go to one of the airports, and typically we'd hop on our airplanes and fly to them, go to one of the area airports, and we'd all have lunch together and commiserate over our problems that we're having on our airport or things that were working really well. It got formalized into a nonprofit organization called the Nevada Airport Managers Association, and then it expanded, and other than airport managers were participating, we had city and county officials participating. We had the engineering community participating, planning, pavement people. And so it became a very good synergistic approach to here are ways you can solve your problems. And it still was a good deal of commiseration over problems that we can't solve and we all seem to have. And so it's kind of evolved. It's a really good organization, very small budget, a lot of volunteer work involved in making it all happen. But it's a lot of fun, and they're really down-to-earth people, and it's probably your best opportunity to meet the airport managers for all those tiny airports in Nevada that you may land at someday. And it's kind of nice knowing a little bit about what's going on there. So I think I've made a big enough pitch. And they do have – there is a fee to attend the meeting. It's not very much, and if you're only going to be there to meet with the FAA, that's not a problem. I mean, there's no fee for that. Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. Treasurer's report, Mr. Carter.
Thanks. We did submit a tentative budget with the help of Beth Kahn Cole. She put it together in the format required by the city. So there are copies of that available for anybody who wants to look at that and make some suggestions before it gets finalized at our next meeting. I think regarding this year's budget, we may need to augment it. Not sure at this point. If we do, we do want to add an item to the June meeting. And we could add that, and if we don't need to augment it, then we won't need to do that, but just in case, that's something we may need to do. I prepared a budget for this month and gave everybody a copy, and happy to answer any questions regarding our budget or finances. If nobody's got any.
Well, I just on the miscellaneous includes activity permit fee and parking, and then also on the gate card it says over, and I want to make sure I understand what that is saying. We got more than we thought we would?
On gate cards?
Yes, gate cards, and then underneath that miscellaneous, 1,316.3% over. So is that, are we saying that we anticipated?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that in our miscellaneous income, we have some items there that need to be.
Don't forget that.
Yes, I will.
And then Jim mentioned the Nevada Aviation Association meeting. I strongly recommend that if you have the time and you can show up, it's a good thing. I know Harlow's appeared and come to it in the past, and other members have as well.
Great breakfast.
Yeah, and the food's good, and and it's a great opportunity to sit down and meet with the folks from the FAA. Robin Hunt will be there, who is the manager of the Burlingame Airport's office, and Abel Tapia will be there, who is our assigned airport planner. I don't know if our assigned environmental folks or the other people will be there, but usually they are around because this is an easy conference for them to get to.
The most important thing for me is I got to hear airport officials from all over the place talk about their airports, their challenges, yeah. What's working well, what's not working well, and that gave me sort of a reference point, you know, for our airport. That was really helpful to me.
Yeah. Originally, this organization, the Nevada Airport Aviation Association, was called the Nevada Airport Managers Association, and before it even had that name, there were a bunch of airport managers that would get together and simply go to one of the airports, and typically we'd hop in our airplanes and fly to them, go to one of the area airports, and we'd all have lunch together and commiserate over our problems that we're having on our airport or things that were working really well. It got formalized into a nonprofit organization called the Nevada Airport Managers Association, and then it expanded, and other than airport managers were participating, we had city and county officials participating. We had the engineering community participating, planning, pavement people. And so it became a very good synergistic approach to here are ways you can solve your problems. And it still was a good deal of commiseration over problems that we can't solve and we all seem to have. And so it's kind of evolved. It's a really good organization, very small budget, a lot of volunteer work involved in making it all happen, but it's a lot of fun, and they're really down-to-earth people, and it's probably your best opportunity to meet the airport managers for all those tiny airports in Nevada that you may land at someday, and it's kind of nice knowing a little bit about what's going on there. So I think I've made a big enough pitch. And they do have, there is a fee to attend the meeting. It's not very much, and if you're only going to be there to meet with the FAA, that's not a problem. I mean, there's no fee for that. Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. Treasurer's report, Mr. Carter.
Thanks. We did submit a tentative budget with the help of Beth Kahn Cole. She put it together in the format required by the city. So there are copies of that available for anybody who wants to look at that and make some suggestions before it gets finalized at our next meeting. I think regarding this year's budget, we may need to augment it. Not sure at this point. If we do, we do want to add an item to the June meeting. And we could add that, and if we don't need to augment it, then we won't need to do that. But just in case, that's something we may need to do. I prepared a budget for this month and gave everybody a copy, and happy to answer any questions regarding our budget or finances. Nobody's got any.
Well, I just on the miscellaneous includes activity permit fee and parking, and then also on the gate card it says over, and I want to make sure I understand what that is saying. We got more than we thought we would.
On gate cards.
Cards, and then underneath that miscellaneous, 1,316.3% over.
Okay.
So is that, are we saying that we anticipated?
Oh, okay. In our miscellaneous income, we have some items there that need to be budgeted or put into the accounting system. The miscellaneous, typically we budgeted for $1,000, and what we would put in there is activity fee, permit fees, which is renting out the terminal building, and for long-term parking is another item, and anything where money might come in. So there was a substantial amount brought in that Casey had something to do with. Tim's looking into that so we can see which account we can put that into.
Yeah, we've got a insurance reimbursement for the fence blowing over, 7,600 and change. So that was a big chunk, and then we had some other reimbursements from workman's comp, things like that. And what they were, they need to be just put into a different category on the agenda, on the budget.
And I just thought I'd bring it up because anytime you see 1,300%, you know, somebody's probably going to ask that question, so it's good if we explain it now what it is.
Well, that makes sense, really, that the miscellaneous account is where it would get put in, it being a one-time thing. But we may create an account for that.
I'll just come up with another category.
Okay.
That's all I've got.
Any questions, board members, for Mr. Carter on the budget? Okay, if not, report from authority members. Seeing none, agenda items for next regular meeting. Seeing none, we are up to adjournment and in need of a motion.
Move we adjourn.
Move has been made.
Second.
And seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Just a reminder, we have a meeting on Friday night.
Friday, 6 p.m., Terminal Building.
Correct.